I'd like to turn to Mark chapter 7 again, that passage we looked at earlier. Let's ask for God's help, shall we? Let's pray. Lord, every time we open our Bibles and look into it, we're looking into you. We ask and pray now, Father, as we read these words from heaven, from your word, the Bible, these words will leap out into our hearts and lives and change us and make us right with you. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Well, our thoughts will centre around that phrase in verse 37. Everything he does is wonderful, or as another translation says, he does all things well. He does all things well. In this passage of scripture that we read, we have some things happening which are obvious, and yet there are some things going on which are not so obvious. This man who approaches or is brought to Jesus, again, it's just one person again that Jesus is dealing with. In the previous verses, we saw, didn't we, last time, that Jesus went all the way to Syrophoenicia, the old Phoenician Empire, which was now past itself by date, but nonetheless, the old cities of Tyre and Sidon would have still been fairly big places, and the woman who sought out Jesus was very earnest and sincere in trying to find him and meet with him. And then he comes away again back to Galilee. All those thousands of people, just one person. And we read this many times in the Gospels, don't we? Jesus meets with one person, deals with one person, and then he comes away. Thousands don't seek Jesus and are concerned about their souls and having an encounter with him and being changed by him. They're quite happy to turn up for the miracles and, you know, the spectacles and the free meals and the handouts, the freebies. But very, very few are genuinely interested in their souls. Are they right with God? Where are they going when they die? Very, very few. And the same here in Galilee. One man has the privilege of meeting with Jesus. So let's look at this man, shall we? Let's look at this situation of what Jesus does with this man. First of all, let's look at his problem. Let's look at the problem, shall we? Here we have a man, he can't hear, he can't speak when he's brought to Jesus. He's a deaf mute. And we see him, Jesus here is healing him both of his deafness and his speech problem. Now these medical problems would not just have been an inconvenient handicap to the men. There are serious spiritual problems for this disadvantaged man. It would have meant that he couldn't hear the truth of God in the synagogue, if he so desired. Even assuming that a particular synagogue or the church in that region of Galilee was one that taught the truth of God and the way of life. Of course, as we've seen on so many occasions, there's only a slim chance of that being the case, of it being a synagogue or a church where the truth is sought and taught. Because, as we know, don't we, from reading the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke and John, so many of the scribes and Pharisees were far more interested in ceremonies, in reputation, in self-righteousness, in thinking about a Brad Pitt-type Messiah who's going to roll up in his white chariot and kick out the Romans and make the Israelites top dogs once again. They've got it all wrong, haven't they? And they rejected Jesus because his CV didn't fit the bill. Unfortunately, the Jewish leader's CV didn't match up with God's CV as found in Isaiah 53. But that's another sermon for another day. Notwithstanding that, all these disadvantages and issues that this man's got, and they would have been bad in those days. I mean, these days, he could have been taught to perhaps sign read and begin with that page, and you might have had some opportunity to make some progress, but it's a dead loss in these days, they've got none of that. Apart from that, had this man been able to hear, and had he desired, he could have at least, even if the local synagogue or church wasn't particularly faithful, he could nonetheless, if he had been able to hear and hear, he could have gone to the synagogue, and maybe in God's grace, he could have heard the scriptures being read, and God would have spoken to him anyway. Now, you've heard the Bible read this morning. Did you hear God speak to you through that? Do you see what? This isn't just an entertainment book. It's not a history book. It's not even a religious book. This is divine revelation. This is God revealing himself. Everybody wants you to know about him and the way to be right with him and to get to heaven. It's all in here. Every time you open this, you're opening up God. So he would have got to hear God's word. Who knows? Maybe God would have reached into him and touched him and helped him to think and to repent and to be saved and to be changed. And that's what he wants for every one of us this morning. He wants to meet with you personally. He wants you to hear him, to feel him, to sense him, and for him to enter into your heart and change you and go home with you as part of you. That's what real Christianity is. Now, on top of that, slim chances of all that is of finding the church where he could have, heard the word, the Bible, the scriptures, such as they had in those days, being read and even taught. The chances of him being able to read and write at all are pretty slim, because the average person at that time, although not stupid, they would have been uneducated and illiterate. There was no state-funded schooling or education available to the common people. The kids were out there now, they'd be going, yes. So that shows you how silly we are about these things, don't we? Of course, if people were well off in those days, they might have been able to afford some private tuition, but that wasn't an option for the vast majority. That was only for a small, well-off group of people. So things are stacked up against this man because of his situation and his circumstances, personal, medical, domestic, and religious. Everything's stacked up against him. You and me, nothing's stacked up against you and me. Here is a faithful Bible preaching church, and where is everybody? God's word is being opened up and shared and revealed with people to bring peace and forgiveness, and to show them the real God, and to come into a personal relationship with him, and to be changed and forgiven, and to know that they can have a home in heaven. Wow, what better news could there be for this generation? So where is everybody? What excuse is there for us today for not hearing and listening to the Lord Jesus and the truth of his grace? This is the only place, churches like this, the only place you're going to hear absolute truth, you're going to find absolute love, and you're going to find something and someone who's going to be totally reliable and who you can open up to and fall into. No one else is going to do that for you. No one. Only God Almighty, in the form of Jesus Christ, is going to do that. Who can take your heart and soul, with all your dirty washing and all your problems and issues, and he can take it, and he can heal it, and he can change it, and he can bring you into a personal relationship, an intimate, meaningful relationship that means something, and you know it, and you sense it, with him. Only he can do that. Nobody else can do that. We're no politicians, no social workers. Nobody. I'm not disparaging these people, they've got jobs to do. But they're not going to solve your innermost problems of your heart. Only God can do that. And until God changes people's hearts, society and this nation will carry on as it is, floundering around, going round in circles, and unfortunately the circles are going ever down and down. Until human hearts have changed. And that's what he wants to do for you today. He wants to reach into your heart. Will you let him? He's not going to force his way in. Do you desire that? Do you want a life that has real meaning? Do you want to be able to hear and speak with God and to God? So what excuse is there for us not hearing and listening to the Lord Jesus and the truth of the gospel these days? What excuse have you all got? Answer, none whatsoever. Hundreds of thousands of men and women have had to die so that you can freely come into this place and open up a Bible and meet with God. But we have deluded ourselves and we've forgotten the God who was merciful to this nation, and we're not interested anymore. My dear friend, do you have a hearing problem? I'm not talking about a hearing aid. I'm talking about a gospel hearing problem. 98% of this nation, I would wager, has a gospel hearing problem. Not interested, don't care. Oh, they'll meet at the cenotaph and wave their flags around and put their wreaths down and be very solemn and worship the glorious dead, and there'll be lots of military hoo-ha. I'm not being cynical, but where is God in all this? Where is the gratitude to God? Where are the hearts that are seeking the one who died for sinners, Jesus Christ himself? No one's mourning or thinking about his death today, are they? And that was the greatest sacrifice. My dear friend, be grateful to God that you were not born in these disadvantaged times that this man was born in. We have every advantage these days, and yet we have forsaken our God and turned our back on him, and we're not interested. Well, sadly, the vast majority are going to wake up when it's too late, when they appear before him on Judgment Day, which could be today or tomorrow. There may not be another gospel service next Sunday. They will wake up too late and discover that they haven't got Jesus Christ standing next to them as their Lord and Saviour, and they're going to have dealings with God as they are, and I don't reckon your chances, frankly, without Jesus Christ stepping up to the plate for you. Be grateful to God that you're not born in these disadvantaged times, that you have every advantage. Make a point of taking advantage of the advantages that God has given you today. You have a Bible in your hand. You have a Bible at home. If you haven't, please take one. We've got loads here. Free Bibles that we would freely give everybody. In the past year, do you want to know how many people have taken those Bibles? None. You have an advantage. Take one home. Read it. Ask God to show you. Open your eyes. To feel him, to see him, to come to him. Take advantage of it. And then make a point to hear and listen and seek God and the truth of the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. That's something and someone to have. Christian, don't take for granted that you hold a Bible in your hands and you're able to read it. God in his grace has enabled this at the expense of much blood and sweat and tears. Thank him for it and use it well. So that's the man and his situation. That's the problem. Let's look at the touch. Verse 33. Jesus led him away from the crowd so they could be alone. He put his fingers into the man's ears. Then spitting on his own fingers, he touched the man's tongue. Now Jesus, in his loving thoughtfulness, takes this man aside so that the healing would be private, the meeting would be private, and the man does not become a public spectacle or attraction. And Jesus wants to take you alone, and he wants to speak with you, and he wants to deal with you and take away your sin and give you a new heart and a new life with purpose and security and peace deep within, contentment and joy and satisfaction that only Jesus Christ in your heart can give. He wants to take you aside alone, and he wants to have dealings with you. Do you want to come aside with him and have dealings with him? He's here today. He's speaking to you. Do you sense him? Never mind everybody else around here. He's here for you. And he will take you aside, and he will have private dealings with you. He doesn't want to make you a spectacle. He doesn't want to humiliate you and hang out all your dirty life and washing. He knows it all. There's nothing you can hide from him. He knows it all. But he will take you aside and have private dealings with you. That's how gracious our Saviour is. And since the man was deaf, well, he couldn't hear the Lord's words, could he? But he could feel the touch of his fingers. He could feel the hand of God literally on him. Touching the ears, touching the tongue. He could feel and sense God. Now this would have been an encouragement to the man, because nobody else has gone to that bother before, nobody's been that interested in, to take him aside, to approach him, to, in a sense, in the right sense of the word, caress him and be prepared to touch. No one. Not even other sinners. And yet this is God, and he's prepared to do that. What amazing grace. This is God, he's prepared to do it to you. He's prepared to come to you with all your dirty washing. He's prepared to come to you where you are, down in the pit with all the sawdust and the foulness. And he's prepared to touch you and change you and heal you. That's the kind of God we're dealing with. That's the kind of Saviour we're talking about. Or if I may quote someone, that's what I'm talking about. A Saviour who will touch you, who is concerned about you, who would take you aside and have dealings with you. So, the man may well comprehend that this is Jesus. I was going to say that he'd heard about, but he wouldn't have known, would he? Somehow, he would have recognised that this is someone that everybody knows about and has talked about. And the fact that he'd been taken aside by this man would have been an encouragement to him. And perhaps maybe the thought that this being God, the Son of God himself standing before him, has the man in his hands and has everything under control would have been an encouragement to him. Will you place your life and your hearts in the hands of Jesus? These are the only hands that can do anything for you, that can save you, change you, give your life new and fresh and clean meaning, and bring you to heaven. It's only through Jesus that this is going to happen. You're not going to get to heaven any other way. But Jesus is prepared to do this for you. Would you place yourself in his hands? Can you feel him now? Sense him? Can you caress in your heart? He's reaching into your heart. He knows all about you. He's rummaging around there. He knows everything about you. But he's still prepared to have dealings with you and take you aside, to give you forgiveness, to give you a new heart, to give you a new life, to make you his blood-bought child, and to bring you to heaven. He's doing that now. His hands are held out for you. Yes, you alone. It's no accident you're here this morning. He wants you to hear this and to know this. He would have private dealings with you. Dear believer, have we been a bit cool this last week? Have we allowed things to get in the way? Do we feel ashamed this morning that we've been negligent? Still, he would come and touch you. Still, he stands here. And he would set you at liberty. A And this man would have known that this touch he feels and senses is no ordinary touch. This is the hand of God. This is the hand of God. And those hands, which lovingly and with forgiveness caress this man to heal him, to save him and to change him, those hands will have nails in them very soon and will be ripped apart as he dies for sinners like you and me, to pay the price for your sin and mine and to bring us to God if we put our faith in him. Those hands. Now when Jesus reaches into your heart and life, you know it. There's no doubt about it. And you can, in a sense, detect him and sense him. You can hear the voice of Jesus. You can sense his Holy Spirit touching your heart and your mind. And he resonates deep inside you through the power of God the Holy Spirit. This is an amazing, deep, secret, mysterious work of God which the vast majority of people have no idea about because they're not here to hear it and to ask for it and to experience it. What a privilege you have this morning. Has he done that with you yet? Is he doing that for you now? What is going to be your response? We don't just come here to sing hymns, to have a nice time, to be friendly. Yes, we do all that. To have coffee, excellent coffee on there, and good hot nuts to dunk in it. But is that it? Is that it? We just come here for the feel-good factor, and then we go on, and tomorrow morning and the rest of the week it's back to normal, everything the same, because the gospel, the salvation and the peace that comes through Jesus Christ requires, nay, demands a response. Dare you not respond to this free offer of God's grace? Do you want to go back to, you know, the drudge and the washing machine and everything else tomorrow? Nothing changed? Yes, you're going to have to do those things. But would it be with Jesus in your heart and life? Would it be in a personal relationship and walk with God? With a new spring in your step? Or is it going to be the same old drudgery? Nothing changed. Will you leave this place the same that you arrived? The gospel of Jesus Christ requires, demands a response. What will be your response? Will you reach out? Will you allow Jesus to reach in? Or will you just shrug your shoulders and say, can't believe what he's talking about? He's a bit OTT this guy. And just go home. And that's it. Like the tragic majority of people in this neighbourhood and this nation today. It's tragic. Tragic. Oh, they're all down the mega church, down the road, St Tesco's, whooping it up, having worship. Worshipping their gods and money and goods and getting stuff. Stuff. Lots of stuff for Christmas. We went to the Rangers here with the grandchildren. Loads of stuff there for Christmas. Pretty. Gorgeous, lovely. Even I was mesmerised for a minute by the gnomes and the, you know, the toys. And God, just for a minute, now I'm 6 years old all over again. Susan probably thinks I've always been 6 years old. Lots of stuff, lots of distractions. We don't need all this Bible stuff. We just want to stuff ourselves, eat ourselves. You can sing a carol if you like. You know, that's good background noise. But don't get carried away with it. And that's what the vast majority will be doing from here on in until the new year. And then when that's all out of the way and the local bin men have taken away the extra amount of rubbish and all your turkey bones, and after you're sick and tired of turkey sandwiches and turkey soup and turkey this and turkey that, it'll be New Year's Eve and you'll have a sherry or two or whatever you do. And you'll have a headache the next day, and then that's all over for another year, and it's back to work. And that's it. All the tinsel, all the religion, all done, all out of the way. Is that it? Is that life? An endless round of turkey, tinsel, New Year's Eve drinks, Auld Lang Syne, year after year after year, and then you disappear off the planet and you're just a number on a census sheet. Is that it? That's what Richard Dawkins says. That's it. You're just a gene bank giving passing the genes to the next generation. You're a nobody, alright? You're nothing. You don't count. Well, thanks, Richard. That makes me feel really good and meaningful. God says you have a soul. Would you place that soul in my hands? Would you allow me to forgive you and cleanse you and change you and bring you into a personal relationship with me? Do you want to know that you have a home in heaven and you're going to come to be with me and live for eternity? Eternity with me in glory? Do you want that? Or are you going to believe all these scientific fairy stories like evolution and Big Bang and whatever? Was you going to be like the tragic majority of people today who run away from the approach of Jesus? This man could be drawn back to, hey, don't touch me, don't invade my space, back off man, more than the blue suede sandals. But he didn't. He perceived that this is God, and he's taken aside by him. And God in his grace and mercy, wondering and wonders, is interested in him, and he's going to have dealings with him, and he's never going to be the same again. What are you going to do of the approach of Jesus? Will you run away from the approach of Jesus like so many? So many. Don't want to know. We're so intelligent, so clever, so wise, so proud of ourselves and our achievements. We don't need Jesus. We've no idea that we are deaf and dumb before God and heading nowhere except to hell, because that's our choice, because we've rejected God and his son Jesus Christ. So when you end up in hell because you walk away from here today not choosing to be touched by Jesus, don't blame God if you end up in hell, because that's him just giving you what you've asked for. You reject Jesus, you're asking for the option B. The option B is somewhere away from God. Hell. Yeah, I know that's blunt, but that's the truth. And because I love you and I'm concerned about you, I will tell you the truth. Isn't it stupid? We prefer to run away from the only one who can heal us from our sin, who can only give us a right heart and soul with God. Will you come to Jesus? Will you allow him to take you aside? He's not going to drag you screaming. He's not going to put you on an arm lock. He's not going to ambush you and take you off somewhere, mug you. Will you come with Jesus? He would take you aside, yes, even you. And he would put you right with God. He would change you. He's here now, and he's beckoning you. Come, come on, listen, listen, I want to touch you. Listen to my words, listen to me, says Jesus. Will you stand still before Jesus, so that he can touch you and heal you of all your sin, give you a new heart, give you a new soul? Because until your heart is changed and you're right with God, nothing else is going to get right. Nothing else is going to make sense. And this is the problem of the world today. It's no good working and praying for peace. I'm not saying we shouldn't try, but it's going to come to nothing like it has always done. Because the humanity's problem is the problem of the hearts. Until hearts are changed, humanity won't be changed. Until your heart is changed and your soul is in God's hands, nothing's going to change for you. And you're never going to be sure where you're going when you die and what comes next, are you? But if God is in your heart, if Jesus has your soul in your life, if he's touched you and opened your eyes and your ears and your tongue to worship him like this man, then you will know, then you will understand, then you will see. He is the only one. Jesus is the only one who can do this for you. Jesus said in John 14 verse 6, and this makes Jesus Christ the exclusive Son of God. He said, and I quote, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. There you go. Not Muhammad, not Buddha, not the Dalai Lama, not Haile Selassie, not the Pope, not anybody else. Jesus Christ said that. Now he's either the biggest two-faced liar that's walked the face of the earth, or he's who he says he is. Which is it? And the Son of God says, I am your way, I am your life, I am your truth, and only you, with me in your heart and life, can you come to the Father. He will take you aside. He's taking you aside now, and he's telling you that. And he wants to touch you, and heal you, and change you. You need Jesus. Do you know that? You need him, because without him, life is just going to carry on the same. You want that? No hope. No peace. No contentment. No satisfaction. No meaning. No purpose. No eternal life. Just a number on a census sheet. Is that what you want? Well, it's your choice. You pick the form. You allow Jesus to take you aside and have dealings with you. You must have the healing touch of the Son of God on your heart, on your mind, and on your life. And then we have the sigh. Did you notice that? Verses 34 to 35. So he's touching this man, Jesus. He looks up to heaven as he's got him in his hands. And he says, Ephphatha, which means, be opened. You see, he's praying for this man, he's presenting him to God, and God, through Jesus, is going to heal this man. The only way you're going to find healing is when Jesus prays for you and touches you, and God, through Jesus, gives you a new heart and a new life. Instantly the man could hear perfectly, and his tongue was freed, so he could speak plainly. And all the hearing aid companies went bankrupt. Jesus sighs. Have you ever thought about God sighing? Have you ever thought about it? This sigh was like an inward groan that only God can make. And it's a compassionate response to the pain and the sorrow and the confusion that sin has brought into the world since we first disobeyed right at the beginning of Genesis. It's a sigh, well, almost of exasperation, but it wouldn't be exasperation because God is in control and he's sovereign, thankfully. But he's grieving over all the pain and the disease and the dis-ease that he sees around him. It's a compassionate response to what he sees in this man's heart and life, the effects of sin, and all around him, ignorance, indifference, nobody else is concerned about their souls. And he sighs, because he yearns, God yearns, for Newtown, Colchester, for Great Britain, to be taken aside by Jesus. To be touched by him. To be changed by him. To have their ears open. And their hearts change. And God groans and he sighs. At a world of sin and rebellion and silliness. And even though God knows everything there is to know about everyone on planet Earth. Yet he knows it all. He knows it all. He knows your life inside out. He knows the person around the road there. He knows it inside out. He is your creator, for goodness sake. You breathe his air. You drink his water. He knows you inside out. Even though God knows everything there is to know about everyone on planet Earth, he still has the love and compassion to sigh and to groan over your indifference and apathy and all the other things that plague you, the sin in your heart and life. You're blind, you're deaf, you're dumb without Jesus Christ in your heart and life. You don't see what God sees. But if you carry on in this way without Jesus Christ, you're going to end up away from God, facing eternal punishment. Because sin must be punished. God is holy. He can't turn a blind eye to it. He can't sweep it under the carpet. Somehow, it's all got to be squared up. Only Jesus Christ can pay that price for you. That's why he died on the cross. But you must put your faith in Jesus. You must believe he's who he said he is. You must believe that he's going to do what he said he's going to do. When you come to him with your sin and your heart and your life, when you hand it over to him, you must believe that he's going to forgive you and change you. You must have faith in Jesus to do this. And he will do it. Yet for those who see and know their lost condition and feel their desperate need for Jesus, there is a loving sigh for you. There is love and forgiveness for you. And he would rejoice following the sigh that you have been prepared to come aside with him and listen to him and be touched by him. There is a happy sigh of joy. There is a loving sigh for you, my friend. He feels your pain. Yes, he really does. He feels your longing, your help. He feels your dissatisfaction and your emptiness. And he sighs and he groans. Because he sees you for what you are. He sees you where you are. If only you would come to him. Leave all your pride behind. Leave all your silly ideas. Leave all the clutter and the noise of the world. Come this way. Come this way. Believe this. Believe that. Come to Jesus Christ. I am the way, the truth, and the life. He is the only one. There aren't many roads to God. It's Jesus Christ or no one. And he's sighing for you now. Won't you come? Won't you come? I can change you. I have the answers. I can give you life today, eternal life, with me in glory. And as you stand here today, before him, my dear soul, know your need, know it, and beg him to touch you. You need his healing power to take away your sin. That's your greatest problem. That's your biggest disease and handicap. The sin in your heart and life which you are born with, we're all born with, it makes a separation between us and a holy God. And you can never score enough points to earn your way to heaven and back to God. You're not going to do it. You can't do it. That's why Jesus Christ came to do it for you. But you must put your faith in him. And you must hand your heart and soul over to him. He would stoop down now to touch you and to place you in his hands. Yes, even a poor sinner, pathetic like you and me, he's prepared to do that. There is no God like Jesus Christ, the Saviour of the world. The Saviour who would take you aside and have personal dealings with you. The only Saviour, the only one who is prepared to touch you and touch you deep in your heart with all your filth and dirty washing and all your problems and all your misunderstandings. He's prepared to touch you, as obnoxious and as messed up as you are. Only he can heal you. Only he is prepared to do this. And he will take you aside and do it privately between you and him. Will you have dealings with God today? Will you have dealings with Jesus Christ? He wants to have dealings with you. Don't leave this place, please, without having dealings with Jesus Christ. Such love and grace. Is your heart crying out? Touch me, Jesus. Change me, Jesus. Forgive me, Jesus. Is that what it's crying out? He does all things well, and he will do you as well. And he will do you well. He says, come with me and I will do you good. There was a prophet 700 years before Jesus who prophesied what Jesus would do, and he did it, because this is the Bible, this is God's word, it comes true. Listen to this, Isaiah 42. If you want to look it up in the large church Bible, you can. Page 1114. If you want to look it up in the big church Bible, page 1114. Isaiah 42. Verse 5. This is the word of God. God the Lord created the heavens and stretched them out. That is an historic, scientific fact. He created the earth and everything in it. He gives breath to everyone, life to everyone who walks the earth, and it is he who says, I, the Lord, have called you to demonstrate my righteousness. I will take you by the hand and guard you, and I will give you to my people Israel. He's now talking about his son, Jesus Christ. As a symbol of my covenant with them. And you will be a light to guide the nations. You will open the eyes of the blind. You will free the captives from prison, releasing those who sit in dark dungeons. I am the Lord. That is my name. I will not give my glory to anyone else. God has agreed, and the Son has agreed, to come here amongst all the sawdust and the filth of planet Earth, to come and meet with you this morning and take you aside, to be your light, to open your eyes, to open your ears, to set your tongue free, to take him in, to understand him, and to be changed by him and forgiven by him. Jesus Christ says, I am the Lord. That is my name, and that's what I'm here to do this morning. Come aside with Jesus Christ. If you want to do that this morning, you want to come aside with him, then I'm happy to pray with you and do that. Let's just pray, shall we? Dear Lord God, we thank you for your word, the Bible, who shows us your love and your goodness. We thank you more especially for the Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who is the way, the truth, and the life. Open our hearts, open our minds to receive him, to come aside with him, and to pour out everything to him, and to receive his forgiveness and his life-giving spirit. Would you please do that for us today, Father, in your grace and mercy. Amen. Amen.